Yes, this is the marriage program on Radio Islam International on this Saturday morning, and we are discussing that how does a person express their needs to their partner. Many people, have a difficulty, or many people find it hard, being assertive. And these, it's always, the nice people, they struggle sometimes with, communicating their needs to other people. And this is because they would like, they would want to shy away from conflict, and they don't want to really trouble or inconvenience other people as well. So they constantly let, their own needs, or rather other people's needs, supersede their own. And they find it, difficult to articulate their personal goals or their personal desires and needs. So a lot of the time what happens with this is they rely on mind reading, believing that their partners should know what they need, or their partners should be able to read and understand what they need without having anything to say or to mention it. But this very doesn't really work, because unless your partner is skilled and he or she is a mind reader, then this is not going to happen. They're not going to really understand or truly understand what is it that you need or what your desire really is at that moment. And when this happens, and when we continuously rely on this, a person then becomes resentful, and he begins ascribing negative qualities like selfishness to their partner, even though they had never actually given them a fair chance to meet their needs. So immediately, or over a long period of time, what happens is the needs are not met, or the desires are not fulfilled, because this person hasn't mentioned them, and they think that their partner should realize, and they should understand, but they don't really mention it. And after a while, they then ascribe these negative qualities to their partner, that the partner is selfish, the partner doesn't think, they only think about themselves, they're only worried about themselves. So this shouldn't be the case. At times you have to mention, reading a book on marriage this week, there was a quote of a person, and he says, in a marriage, your spouse, they have a right to mention things that they need in the relationship. In fact, it is their responsibility to do so. It's a responsibility to yourself and your partner to be at times clear about exactly what is it that you need. You are the expert on yourself. You know yourself best. No one else, not even your partner, can read your mind. And if you just mention it, if you just speak about it, this will then bring that harmony in the marriage. And sometimes a person feels that, if I mention my needs, if I mention my desires to my partner, it makes me a weak person. And we all want to feel important, we want to feel understood, we want to feel appreciated in a relationship. And we think that, by coming forward and talking about this, it sometimes puts you in the weaker position, but it doesn't. You are human. Everybody is a human, they have their own desires, they have their own needs. So the question is that, if a person has difficulty in expressing their needs, if you are one of those nice people that don't really want to inconvenience others, and you shy away from conflict, how do you express your needs? How does a person express their needs to their spouse without being aggressive, without being pushy, without seeming like rude or demanding it? How do you express your needs and your desire, whether it be emotionally, whether it be physically, or whether it be spiritually? So before we move on, and later in the program as well with Muallima, we will be discussing how we should approach this situation. But before that, let us look at the few things that should not be done, that what is the wrong way and what should be avoided. The first thing that many marital counselors and those who are involved in this type of work, they would say that the first thing is never compare. Never ever compare. This is extremely harmful to a relationship. So if you would like something or you desire something and you want something from your spouse, never ever, you know, use a way where you are now comparing them to someone else. So you tell them that, why can't you be like so and so, you know? They do that for their husband and they behave like that. Or why don't you be sweet like that person? Why don't you be romantic like that person? He did that for his wife, or she did that for her husband. If only you could do something like that for me. So these type of discussions or these types of comments and these types of quotes, they have detrimental consequences. You know, firstly, what happens is now your spouse looks at that person whom you are comparing them to. Automatically, this creates a bit of dislike for that person. It creates, you know, unwanted jealousy maybe even for that person. And in the end of the day, that person didn't even really do anything wrong. But in the same way, it sort of breaks your partner, that they feel that, you know what, they are broken, and they feel that they are not good enough for you. And so this is one thing that should definitely be avoided at all times, you know, that no comparing. Don't ever compare your spouse to someone else's. That especially if you want to get a message across, or you want that something similar in that way, or you want some of your needs or your desires to met, never ever go towards comparing. That is very detrimental. And the second point that people mention, and they say when it comes to this, is don't rely on mind reading. And we mentioned this in the beginning of the program as well, and we will discuss it further, that we sometimes think that, you know what, they need to know, they need to be able to understand exactly what I'm going through. But this doesn't happen. Majority of people, you know, they prefer clarity. You know, if you aren't happy with things, or you aren't happy with the way that things are going, they want you to know about it, you know. Otherwise what happens is your partner will spend half the time guessing about what might make you happy, and the other half, they just assuming that, you know what, this is what my husband or this is what my wife wants. And that really doesn't work. You know, you're not doing anyone favors by letting him think, or by letting her think, that things are okay when really they're not. So in the end of the day, you'll just feel frustrated, and they will also feel frustrated, you know, when they realize that, you know what, things haven't been going, and they might have been doing something that they thought brings happiness to you, or that is what you want, and it actually isn't. So we are not mind readers, you know. You cannot understand what the next person is thinking or what the next person wants. So because of the world we live in today, and when we look at the different novels that people read, or the different shows that people read, you know, they fantasize about it, this falling in love, and they have this image in their head of this perfect partner, you know, who is able to read your mind and is able to know exactly what you want, at what moment, what to do in order to make you happy. But later you realize that, you know what, this is not going to, this sometimes doesn't happen. This is not the case always. And if you want to have a successful relationship, if you want to have success in your marriage, you have to then at times, you know, speak about your needs, mention it in a way that you don't seem that you are being aggressive or you are demanding, but rather in a way when you are communicating with your spouse to bring this or discuss this. So this is this expectation of that my partner should be able to read my mind and know exactly what I want. This is not a healthy or a realistic expectation, you know. We need to grow up emotionally and make you know, an internal shift on this point. That you'll find that in healthy relationships, each person needs to be able to reflect and sort of what they are feeling and what they want to request, or what request they have for the partner in their life. So no one is ever going to, you know, read your mind telepathically and deliver your unstated needs to you. But that's just not how it works. Sometimes you need to learn to reduce your expectations of others in this area, and then, you know, in that way also the happier you become. So you need to voice and you need to just speak out at times, you know, just to speak up a bit and say that, you know, I'm not really happy with this situation, or this is really what I need. And also listen as well, that when your spouse is speaking, to listen, you know, they say that it is, you have to, you know, at times you have to give in, at times you have to take as well. So this is one of the angles of this topic, that what shouldn't be done. So the first one is that never compare, and the other one is don't rely on mind reading, that you have to speak and you have to then discuss it. So we will be joined by Muallima shortly, and we will go further into this topic, and speaking about why it's so important to express these needs, what is the difficulties that a person might have when it comes to expressing those needs, and then the important part, what is the positive way? What is the positive way of expressing your needs? We've mentioned some of the negative ways, but what are the positive takes on expressing one's needs? And what happens? What happens when a person expresses their need, but they get a negative response? So you spoke to your spouse, you mentioned your desire, you mentioned your need, and you got a negative response. So how should that situation be dealt with as well? So inshallah we take a break, and when we come back we will be joined by Muallima Abidabi.
My brothers and sisters, when a person has faltered, how do they make things right? Like I was saying, the nikah, how should it take place? It must be simple, very simple nikah. We must not try and compete with the Joneses. No, that family had a very big nikah with 2,000 guests. We want to have one with 3,000 guests. That family gave this gift. We want to have that. No, you are making it difficult. There will be no barakah in that marriage. You can invite how many people you want. Keep it simple. Keep it segregated, separated. Make sure you understand it is a religious function. It is not a social function. Understand that. It is a function that is sacred. And this is why I treat it as though it is a function that is held because of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then you will understand. Today we have, you know, people who get together, music is blasting, men and women are there. The bride, who sometimes is very religious, the day she's getting married, her hair is showing, her cleavage is showing, her legs are showing, she's sitting in front of all the men, and the husband comes in, he's supposed to be a religious person, but even he chooses clothes that do not depict any religiousness at all, and he wants to sit right in front of everyone, and everyone is taking pictures and congratulating them, and all the young boys and girls. It has happened, where a man has seen a woman at his own marriage prettier than his wife, so he divorced his wife to marry that woman. Wallahi, I am not telling you a lie, it is a true story. Look at this. Why? Because we don't do our things properly. And then some of us say, no man, these people are, like I said, mullahs from Afghanistan. Astaghfirullah. Wallahi, this is a religious ruling. I mean, if someone tells you, read your salah, it does not make them a bad person. If someone tells you, look, this is a proper religious function which is spiritual. I had the opportunity of sitting next to a rabbi in one of the aircrafts, and I learned so much, because a lot of their rules and regulations are very, very close to Islam. They are stricter than us in so many things, and that is the pure Judaism. Subhanallah. But their followers will not go out and say, no, it's a barbaric religion. But we sometimes would like to go out and challenge our own religion, and we don't want. Why is it? Let us not become dissolved in the cauldron of westernization, dissolved in the cauldron of Satanism, dissolved in the cauldron of worshipping our own desires. That shouldn't be the case. May Allah protect us. Really, you have a marriage that is simple. You are invoking the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they will be, if they have a problem, and it is not, you know, you cannot have a marriage which does not have any problem whatsoever. There will always be some form of an issue, small or big. But when you have had a proper marriage, then you need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to the assistance of the particular people who are involved. So this is the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we have had a marriage which was totally wrong, and as I said, we had extravagance and everything was gone wrong and so on and so forth, in that particular case, we need to engage in tawbah. Ask Allah to forgive you so that we are not penalized as a result of the wrong that we did. Not penalized. And wallahi, what I'm saying is real. I have studied marriages where you have people who have abandoned the law of Allah for those few hours of the walima or few hours of that function. They abandon the law of Allah. They pay for it later on in life. I have studied these sometimes. Unless they engage in tawbah and change their lives. Because sometimes people are already married. Sometimes we who are married, we did it the wrong way sometimes. So how do you mend that? Allah says by engaging in istighfar. Say, Ya Allah, we did it wrong. Ya Allah, forgive us. What happened was not supposed to be. My brothers and sisters, it is a religious function. Do it correctly. I call upon you really to have your functions of nikah correct no matter what challenges you may face in terms of people saying, if it is separated, I'm not going to come. Well, my brother, I've invited you. You want to come? Come. You don't want to come? Don't come. But I want the angels of mercy to be there. So if I'm going to keep it mixed because I want you there, then the angels won't come. And if I want the angels there, then you won't come. I'd rather you don't come, the angels be there. Allahu Akbar. We have had marriages where people have put on the card the dress code.
Yes, this is the marriage program on Radio Islam International. 26 minutes to the hour of 11. And this morning we are discussing that, you know, the importance of expressing your needs to your partner. And we do have on the line Muallima Avira Peer. Muallima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, Muallima, this morning, as we have mentioned, that, you know, in a relationship, when a person, when their desires or when their needs are not fulfilled, you know, this may lead to frustration, it may lead to, you know, a real sense of disappointment. And every person has their own needs, and every person needs to express their needs to their partner so that the effort can be made in order to then fulfill that need. We've seen that, you know what, sometimes people find it a bit difficult as well. But to just build up that courage, and Muallim, I know when we speak about this stuff, maybe just explain to us exactly, you know, that why is it so important to express this needs? You know, it has an impact on the self-worth and the self-esteem of a person. Sometimes a person might shy away from it, you know, because they feel they don't want to inconvenience another person, that by me expressing my needs, I'm causing, you know, like, I'm causing difficulty to that person. But why is it so important to express these needs?
Again, as Mulana just mentioned, it's about the person's self-worth and self-esteem. And so, like Mulana mentioned previously in the program, is that many times we think that our partners are mind readers. We have a certain, you know, needs which are not being fulfilled, and we have the hope and the expectations that those needs will be fulfilled, but we don't express them, and then we expect our partners to know what it is that we want, that they can read our minds, and then when they don't fulfill the needs that we require, we feel let down, we feel disappointed, we have negative feelings, we feel feelings of anger and resentment. So there's a lot of negativity that then comes up within the marriage. So the need to express what we feel and what it is we really want within the marriage is to make the marriage a good one. It's to make the marriage one that is understood by both couples. It's to make this marriage a peaceful, happy environment, because again it's about, like Mulana just mentioned, it's about the person's self-worth and the person's self-esteem. Because if we can express what it is that we really want from the relationship, as opposed to just leaving it to chance, we feel understood. We feel that my partner understands me. He or she knows what it is that I want, and therefore it gives that person the opportunity to do for us and behave with us and to fulfill for us what it is that we really need. We also feel heard. Because sometimes within a marriage, you know, people say, I talk, but my husband or my wife doesn't hear, they don't hear what I say, you know, things just go over their head. But it makes a person feel heard. It also then gives a person, a better sense of self-worth. It also makes a person, feel appreciated. So when they get what they want, in terms of their needs from the partner, it makes the person feel appreciated that, yes, I'm doing this for you, but I'm also getting something back in return. So it's not just a question of I do everything, I give my best, in the relationship, but I don't get anything from this relationship. My emotional needs are not fulfilled. Maybe even sometimes my physical and spiritual needs are not fulfilled.
Yes, Mwanima, when we look at this topic, and we say that sometimes it's a person, you know, a person wants to shy away from conflict, or a person doesn't want to cause inconvenience to others. This is the type of person that they are, and that is why they do not want to express their needs, and they then choose to remain silent over it, and then they expect it to be like that mind reading where the person now understands, and the person should know what exactly my needs are. But another thing that sometimes that happens, or that some people might feel, is that you know, there's that sense of fear maybe, or they find it difficult because they're not sure of the response that they might get. That if I have to express my need to my spouse, I'm not sure what sort of a response I'm going to get. Am I going to get a positive response, or am I going to get a negative response? So because of that fear, they find it then difficult to express their needs.
This happens very often, and it also stems from, like Mulana says, it's about the personality of the person. It's also the manner in which the person was growing up, because sometimes in some homes, children are not allowed to express their feelings. They're not allowed to say what they really think or feel, or what they really want in terms of their emotional growth. And so they are always put down. They are always told to be quiet and just take whatever you get. And also, on the other hand, it's a question of what is going to be the response of this person. What if I express my needs, then my needs are not going to be fulfilled? The person will maybe disregard it, or will say something negative to me, and then I'm going to feel more disappointed, then I'm going to feel hurt. And this again might just bring up more negative feelings, you know, within the person. And so yes, many times in relationships, people are afraid. They are afraid to express their needs, because sometimes also, and many times this happens with men within the relationship, they feel if they express the need, it's a sign of weakness. And that weakness could be used against them. And this could happen for a woman as well, is where we feel if I tell my partner, my spouse, that this is what I want in the relationship, or this is what I need, they're going to use that against me. And they will see that, and they perceive that as a weakness. But I think it's so important, again, this is why mashura within a relationship is so important, is for a couple to be able to sit down and to discuss what it is that both of them want. What is it? What are their needs in terms of even physical needs? What is it that we need on an emotional level, on a spiritual level? What do we need to give to each other to make us a good couple, to make us the best to each other, to give off our best to each other? And this is why it's so important to really sit down and to not have those fears. Yes, sometimes the person might not respond in a positive way, but it's to take that chance in any case, and then to be able to deal with it. When it does come up.
Yes, that is true, Mwanima, that just to understand that if a person has needs and a person has desires, that this is not a weakness. That every human is basically having needs and desires. This is part of being a human as well. Mwanima, earlier we mentioned that, you know, some of the negative ways that a person could express their needs. One is when a person would compare their spouse to another one, in that way to get the message across that this is what I want, or this is what I need, this is what I desire. And also that is very detrimental, that is very dangerous to the relationship. Also, as we said, that, you know, relying on your spouse to be able to read your mind, and you don't mention anything, that also is not going to take you very forward. So Mwanima mentioned some of the, you know, the positive ways that how should a person do this, how should a person address this situation without really, you know, seeming like they are demanding, or without really, you know, attacking their partner. But what is the way, and what is a positive way for a person to express their needs?
I think the most important thing here is to realize that, you know, that we have needs, and to actually know what our needs are, and that they are valid needs. They're not just superficial, but they are valid needs. And also, very, very importantly, is to realize that our spouse also has needs. And so it's not just about what I want and what I need in the relationship, but again, it's about my spouse also has needs, and do I fulfill the needs of my partner? And so, again, when addressing, you know, because sometimes these issues could be of a very sensitive nature, and then again, to think about it very carefully. It's not just about that you're going blurt out that you don't do this for me and you never do that for me, and because that is a very negative way. And usually this is how we express, you know, our needs sometimes in a relationship, is that we express it in a negative way and we use the you never or you always. You always do this. You always worry about yourself. You always take care of or worry about your needs, but you never worry about me, and you always, you know, put me down, or you always do this. Now, that is a very negative way to broach anything, because that is, again, it's going on the attack. It's attacking and it's accusing the other person, and immediately it puts that person on the defensive, and that person then is not interested in hearing what you really have to say. So it's always, you know, wise and advisable to be calm about it, to think, to know exactly what it is you want to say, you know, be in a calm, you know, frame of mind. Not when you're having an argument for your with your spouse, that's not the time to express your needs, because the other person is not going to hear you in any case. And at that moment, because they're upset with you or they're angry, they're not really interested in fulfilling your needs. They're not going to really take note of what you're saying. So in a calm environment, you know, sit down and say, you know, can we spend this time, you know, there's certain things that we need to discuss in order to make our relationship better, in order to make our marriage better. And I realize, you know, you have needs and I have needs. What is it, what of your needs do you think I'm not fulfilling? And so you can ask that, you know, the partner, that what would you like me to do? I'm trying my best, but maybe I might be overlooking something, or maybe I don't know and you haven't expressed something, and so, you know, we're kind of bypassing each other. So what would you like me to do? And then you can say, and I would like you to do this for me. I would like things to be in a particular way. I would like you to speak to me in this manner. I would, you know, I feel embarrassed if you criticize me in front of others, for example. So it's not accusing the person, but it's actually just discussing and being able to open up and to discuss things and the particular issues. So it's important, again, to use positive words. Mm-hmm. I would really like you to do this, or I would love it, or it would make me so happy if you would do this for me, or you would do that for me. So it's very important the kind of wording that we use when we addressing these issues.
Yes, the wording that we use, and to understand that, and to make our partner as well understand that this is not to offend them, but rather we are just expressing our needs. The words that we use, the manner, the tone in which we speak as well, and also to understand that, your partner also has needs, and to be open-minded about that as well, that they might mention something that they want and what they need. So to be open-minded with regards to that as well. And Mualima, you know, one of the other things that happens as well is that couples don't always agree on what is a need in a relationship. You know, some people are unwilling to do something because they either feel they don't feel comfortable doing it, or they are not able to do it for some reason. And how does a couple, or how does a person in the relationship address such a situation where they have now built up that courage, they have taken the first step, and they have mentioned their need or their desire to their spouse in a manner which is pleasing, not in an offensive manner? But what happens when they experience this, or rather when they express their needs and they receive a negative response? Then how should they deal with that situation? They've mentioned their need, but the couple has now come back and, you know, given them a negative response. The person has given a negative response. So how do they deal with that situation?
Yeah, I think importantly, again, is to understand that sometimes the things that we say is of a sensitive nature, and sometimes we might express something to our spouse, and it comes as a shock to them. Sometimes a husband or a wife might think that, you know, I'm doing this for my husband or my wife, and I'm already doing so much for them, and now they're telling me that, you know, this is that they're not happy about this situation, or this is a need that they have, and sometimes it comes as a shock. And so we also need to give people time to absorb what we are saying and what it is that we really want from them. So again, using the positive side is that, you know, alhamdulillah, I really appreciate it, when you do this or the way you do this or the way you say things to me or whatever. Just bring in those positive things. But I would also like it if you just did this also and you also did that, so as not to make the other person feel that you're not appreciative of the things that you do for them. Because sometimes people see it as ingratitude. You know, if they're already doing in a relationship and now you're asking for something more, they might perceive that as, but I'm already doing so much, but this person is not, they don't appreciate what I'm doing or whatever, and they might become angry or they might withdraw in the situation. So it's always good to go back and point out the positive things and say, alhamdulillah, I'm really happy that you do this. I really appreciate that. Because this is the thing within our relationships, is that we don't always express our gratitude. We don't always express our appreciation. And the thing is, it's human nature. Every human being wants to feel valued. And every human being wants to feel appreciated. And so it's very important to bring out the positive things, because usually what we do is that we focus on the negative. You don't do this for me, or you don't do that, or I don't like the way you do this. And so we focus on the negative. And obviously, now again, understand you're dealing with another human being. They also have sensitivities. They also have feelings. And so rather when we focus on all of the positive that we do and we compliment them and we show appreciation for what they do, then they would want to do more for us. But then sometimes what happens within relationships is that we come up against a stone wall, and the other person, you know, also remember that we have to give them time to absorb what we're saying and to think about it and to say, okay, we can't expect, I told my husband now that I want things in a particular way, and then 1 hour later I expect him to just be on the ball and do things as I want him to do. Give them time to think about it, to absorb it, and to figure out a way of how they are actually going to do it. So it's also important for us to have patience. To have patience in these situations, and sometimes also remember people's pride and ego come into the way, and they don't just want to do things because they don't want to be seen as weakness, that you can tell me what to do, and so I will do it on my own time. So again, the patience comes in, is to wait and see, and I think what is really very, very important in what we want in a relationship is to make dua for it. We can ask from our spouses, and sometimes we can ask, and we can really ask very nice, but the spouse is not, the partner is not interested. They don't want to give, they don't want to give in to us, or they don't want to do what we really want them to do within the relationship. And so, again, that can lead to negative feelings and emotions, and then we also start focusing on all of the negativity, and that leads to a lot of anger and resentment in the relationship. Or we can say, okay, I'm going to be patient with this. I've expressed my needs in a very good way, but I'm going to be patient, and more than anything else, I'm going to turn to Allah. I'm going to make dua that this is how I would like things to be within the relationship. Because obviously, when we're looking at the relationship, it's not just about me. It's not about the individual. Because if my husband or wife is fulfilling the needs on every level, it brings out the best. It brings out the best in the individual. And so it's about the holistic relationship. It's about the marriage. It's not just about me and you. It's about the marriage. It's about the kind of home and the environment that we are creating around us and for our children. And so, again, it's very important that we turn to Allah and we make dua. That Allah, you bring about peace in our home. Ya Allah, you fulfill, make me able to fulfill all of my husband's needs, and you make him fulfill my needs. And so we make the dua, and inshallah with that, you know, things can inshallah change. So even if it doesn't, is to have patience and to not nag and harp and keep complaining about it, because again that causes again, you know, a negative environment. But it's to just maybe to, you know, this is again where we make sabr and we have the patience.
Yes, that to make that shukr and appreciate what is being done and what needs are being met. And at the same time, when discussing it with your spouse, then to make sabr, as you said, it might come as a shock to that person. They might be surprised. So they might need some time just to digest it. And thereafter, they will make the effort in order to fulfill that need. Mualima, we have come towards the end of the program. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us this morning and really sharing with us that beautiful advices.
Jazakallah khair for having me, Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, that was Mualima Abida Peer and speaking to us about the manner in which we should express our needs. What are the positive ways of expressing our needs to our partners, to our spouses, and what we should avoid and what should not be done. Also, if a person receives a negative response, then to deal with that situation also in a calm mind and in a calm way, that we do not then end up hurting that person, never using then complaining and the words that she mentioned, that you know what, you always or you never do this, and you always only think about yourself. These are statements, or these are things that we should not really say. We take a short break, and when we come back, we will conclude with the program. Yes, and with that, we have come towards the end of the program, the end of the marriage program on this Saturday morning. It is a long weekend. Those who are traveling, those who will be on the roads, please stay safe. Remember us in your du'as as well. And those who will be attending the Ijtima as well, be safe on the roads. And also remember us in your du'as, that there is a place where the du'as are now, no doubt, accepted in that environment, in that gathering with so many people there as well. So from myself, Ibrahim Daya, and our studio operator this morning, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.